Take your Bibles this morning, please, to turn to 1 John. That's one of the letters to John before the book of Revelation in the back of the New Testament there. 1 John, chapter 3 this morning. 1 John, chapter 3. We're going to read verses 19 through 21. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. As you find in your place, if you would please stand to your feet, if you're able, this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. I pray that you would use it to help us today. Speak to our hearts. Work what's needed in our lives today. Here in this room or across the internet, Lord, just whatever you want, we pray that you would have your way in our lives today. Now, to accomplish this, we pray for our pastor as he comes. Use him, fill him with thy Holy Spirit to help us today. And Father, if there's someone listening this morning on the internet in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray they would settle it today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, our young people from the schools were smiling at me today because this is their scripture that they're using right now in our schools. And the subject this morning actually came from a devotional we did a little bit in school today. I mean, this week with our young folks. Do you realize, dear folks, look at me. Do you realize that God wrote an entire book in the Bible to help Christians to have the assurance that they're Christians? 1 John chapter 5 is five simple chapters, but it's five chapters of God over and over again throughout this book, helping us to have assurance of salvation so that we'll know, listen now, know that we have eternal life. Throughout this book, and I'll give them to you real quickly this morning, throughout this book he'll use different expressions to explain or to give an analogy of salvation. He uses the most common one that he uses is born of God. They are born of God. That's an expression that refers to salvation, being born again. He also uses the expression in this book, we do know that we know him, to know God as a part of our salvation. Then he talks about being called the sons of God. He talks about being little children. He mentions in this book an analogy of salvation. We are passed from death unto life. Here in verse number 19, the analogy here is this. We are of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's an expression of our salvation that we are of the truth. The expression, two simple words he uses in this book also to describe salvation is that we are of God. And also that he that dwelleth in him, he in us. In other words, now listen. In other words, over and over he uses these analogies of what salvation is. And every time he does, he attaches something with it that tries to give us an understanding of an assurance of salvation. Now, there's a reason for that. Because almost guaranteed, somewhere in your Christian life, you're going to come to doubt your salvation. Now, some of you maybe never have. From the moment you trusted Christ till this very minute, you've never doubted whether or not you are a child of God. But I have. Now, it's been some time, and what I want to talk to you about this morning is, why does someone doubt their salvation? Why? What is that? And answering the question, hopefully we'll get some things settled in our minds. Because, dear people, it's very important for you and I to have, without a question in our mind, without a shadow of a doubt in our mind, to have the 100% assurance that we have eternal life. And to know it for certain, And whenever doubts come, now listen carefully, whenever doubts come, to know how to settle the doubts correctly. Some people, when they doubt their salvation, here's what they do. They say, well, I'm not sure, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to ask Jesus to save me again. And they wind up asking again and again and again for salvation. Because every time they doubt, they figure, well, just to make sure, I know I need to trust Christ. I know I need to ask him to save me. So I'm just going to ask him again and again. And every time they doubt, they ask. Without realizing, every time you ask, you create more doubt. Something has to settle it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to be certain of this thing of salvation and eternal life. Not a lot of things are very certain anymore. They're telling us now that the government is shut down. I wasn't aware it ever worked, quite frankly. No big loss, quite frankly. And until Congress doesn't allow themselves a paycheck till they fix it, they never will fix it. But okay, never mind. But there's just doubts about things, okay? Questions. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you settle a doubt about eternal life? God put five chapters in his book, in the Bible, to show us how we can have and know for a certain that we have the assurance of our salvation. Because I guarantee you some will, I think most will, somewhere down the road, have questioned in their mind, am I really saved and am I certain? Why do some people doubt their salvation? Reason number one, they don't have salvation. Not everyone that I talk to who has doubts about their salvation turns out to be someone who's lost, but I will say this, a vast majority of them have never had it. Now, we understand something this morning. Look at me, church, look at me. We understand that once you have salvation, you can never give that up. Now, we've spent many a sermon on that. There's a little track out here in the foyer in our track rack that explains the assurance of salvation and, more importantly, the eternal security of your salvation. But I still, even to this day, I still have Christians say, yeah, but what if somebody does, and I always think to myself, haven't they settled it in their mind that once you have the salvation you didn't deserve, you can't give it away because you didn't deserve to get it. We're saved. We're secured by the same God. By the way, by the same kind of salvation that you received is the same salvation that secures you. You didn't deserve to have salvation, so you can't undeserve it. You can't give it up. Nothing can change that. That's why the Bible, in one of the analogies of salvation in the Bible, talks about being passed from death unto life. Now, we understand life unto death. But death unto life, well, that's a resurrection. That's a miracle. Hey, look at me. That's a work of God to go from death unto life. But there's no analogy in the Bible where you go from death unto life, back to death unto life, back to death. Once you were born from death unto life, you're born from death unto life. Okay, some of you are looking at me funny, so let me stay with you a minute. Now, I understand there's questions in people's mind about eternal security, but be clear about something. Ladies and gentlemen, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive eternal life. The old John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, what, church? Everlasting life. Here's what everlasting life means. Everlasting life. Life that ever lasts. Can I get deeper for you? Life that doesn't stop. Life that just goes on. It's eternal. And there is no point in God's program in the Bible where that life that he gave you ever ceases to be eternal, everlasting life. So just in salvation is the security of your salvation. Just in salvation is the security of your faith. Everything's secured and kept by God. But now, please listen. So then why would we ever doubt that? Because number one, ladies and gentlemen, once you have eternal life and you are born of God, God puts with that an assurance of salvation. So we doubt it. I believe many who doubt their salvation have never received salvation. Why people question someone, they'll say, yeah, but I know somebody and here's what they did. You're questioning their actions. You're questioning their sin, which you better hope we don't ever do of you. Which is, it always gets me. But what if you went out and you killed somebody? Okay, you don't do that. That's why you use that analogy. But what if you run a red light? What if there's a moment in your life, where you don't love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? What if that moment comes? Because that's the greatest commandment of all. You just broke the greatest of all commandments, greater than murder or anything else. So if you're not secure, you're in danger. You're in trouble, aren't you? But, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I find. People who doubt their salvation, often, not all of them, but often, they have never received salvation. That's why we look at somebody's life and we say, well, how could they have salvation and do what they did? My question would be, did they ever have it? See, we've cheapened the gospel today, and we've cheapened the simplicity of salvation so much today that I'm afraid people are stumbling over what 2 Corinthians 11 says is the simplicity that is in Christ. See, salvation is simple. Look here, here it is. You and I as lost sinners, and that's us, right? We're all sinners. Are we agreed with that this morning? Okay, good. Because some of you are a little sanctified, but I'll get to you in a second. The truth is, we're sinners, yes? And because we are lost sinners, Jesus came and died to pay the penalty for the sins we have committed. His death on the cross is the payment for the wages of sin we have earned. He went to the grave and rose again 3 days later, conquering the death that he has submitted himself to pay for our salvation. A sinner who trusts the payment Jesus made fully and completely, just simply trust Christ alone for that salvation, the moment they do and ask him to save them, they have eternal life. But since that is so simple, people get it mixed up and they add stuff, they put things in there. We got folks today praying and asking Jesus to save them and promising him they'll make him Lord of their life. That will not save you. You must be a sinner simply trusting Christ. He didn't want any bargains. He didn't want any deals. He didn't want any stuff from you. He already paid for your salvation and paid for your sin. It's not your righteousness he's looking for. It's your sinful condition trusting Christ that saves you. So it's simple, but I believe many doubt their salvation because they don't have it. Now look at me this morning. So here's what you need to do. When you doubt your salvation, you need to think back to a very simple, clear testimony of when you understood you were lost in sin and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and asked him to do so. Now look at me, friend. It's as simple as that, but you can't take anything from it. And anyone who has ever done that has the remembrance of that testimony. Some people doubt their salvation because they've never had it. They never had salvation to lose it. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, surely I must be a Christian. I do what Christians do. Please tell me that is not the assurance of the salvation that you have. Judas Iscariot did everything the disciples did, and he's in hell 2,000 years later. Because he was a church treasurer, for goodness sakes. He did everything they did. He went everywhere they went. And when Jesus told the disciples, one of you is going to betray me, and the 12 disciples are sitting there, they all jumped up and pointed at Judas because they knew what it, no, they didn't. They didn't know it was him because he was just like them in every way. The assurance of your salvation, my friend, the testimony of your salvation better not be, I do what a Christian does. I live the Christian life. I love the Lord. I go to church. That better not be the testimony of your salvation. It better be, I was lost. I trusted Jesus to save me, and I got saved. That's where it better come. Now look at me. That's where it better come, and that's where it better stay. And you better make sure that's all that is your testimony of your salvation. Witnessing to a man one day, I knew he came from a religion of works, a church of works. I said, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? He goes, yes. I said, is that what you're depending on for your salvation? He said, yes, definitely. I said, good. Anything else? And he said, well, you live a good life, and you... And I said, partner, there's a problem. I said, is that what you think is part of your salvation? Well, of course. Salvation is all of grace and all of God and all of a gift. You have to make sure, see, they doubt their salvation because they've never settled it with a biblical salvation. Now, friend, look at me this morning. I don't care whether you have been a member of this church forever. You understand? And you can't have been a member forever because we haven't been around that long. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference whether you go to church here or not. It doesn't matter. This is the testimony you need to have. Do you simply remember trusting Jesus Christ to save you and asking Him to do so? Some doubt their salvation because they don't have salvation. Number two, some doubt their salvation because they don't live right. Yeah, see, you sin, you lose. No, you don't lose it. You lose the assurance of salvation. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 9 says this. Listen, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's not that his old sins are not purged, he's forgotten about it. Sin will rob you of the assurance of your salvation. I got out of the will of God for 10 years in my life. When I started to go back to church, I began to be concerned about whether or not I could have been a Christian, saved the whole time I was out of the will of God and living for Mike Johnson. I had doubts in my mind. Sin will take your assurance from you. Now, how do you settle that one then? Well, here it is. This is deep. Watch me. You get right with God. You don't ask to be saved again. You ask God to rededicate your life. You don't ask to get born again because you don't need to. You already been born again. What you need to do is get your heart right with the Lord. And that assurance of your salvation will return and be restored. When I started going back to church, I struggled with it. I thought to myself, man, how in the world could I have done that? How could I have walked away from God like that and gotten so far from God and so many of the things that were a part of my life in those 10 years, I was out of the will of God. Man, I struggled. Boy, did I struggle. And a couple of good Christians came to me and said, look, you're not sure, just pray and trust Christ and make this the day of your salvation. I am so thankful someone else was a little smarter than that. Now look, friend, look, you can get to the place where you trust your asking instead of trust Christ. You can get to the place where you think, I just keep asking, surely I'll get it nailed down somewhere. And every time you do, you put Jesus Christ back on the cross for your sins. He died once for you, you trust Him once, you get saved. But Christian, listen to me. You let sin into your life and sin robs you of your spiritual strength and your understanding about things. And you will forget that you were purged from your old sins. In other words, you'll start to think, well, maybe I wasn't saved. Well, that's easy to fix. You just get right with God. And after those 10 years out of the will of God, I got right with the Lord on a hot August night of 1975. And when I got right with God, people, and after I got that struggle settled in my mind, I sat down and just simply went over in my thinking because my brother helped me. He said, now, look, Mike, just do it this way. Do you remember trusting Christ to save you and asking Him to do so? I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. He goes, there is the matter of salvation settled. But it's fascinating. With sin in my life, I couldn't have assurance. When I got right with God, then my assurance came. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You understand blind, don't you? You understand what seeing afar off means. It means you're nearsighted. It means you see up here, but not out here. Some Christians doubt their salvation because they are Christians, but they don't live right. You want to keep that sin? Then good luck on the assurance of your salvation. It'll never settle it. Look at 1 John chapter 3 this morning and look at verse number 20. Some Christians doubt their salvation because they doubt themselves. Notice what it says in 1 John 3, please, and verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Some people doubt their sincerity. Did I understand it? Did I ask right? And they begin to look at me. They question themselves and doubting their salvation. Well, I was just a child. Well, Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such are the kingdom of heaven. Five-year-olds can trust Christ and get saved. Some of you folks, you know, now that you've been saved for a long time, you think kids can't come to Christ. Hey, they can get saved more simply than you can. They don't come with baggage. They come with simple faith, simply trust Christ, and they simply get saved. But they think, well, you know, I don't know. And then They doubt themselves in their life. They doubt the way they live their lives. Or they doubt the sincerity of their asking. And I've had people do that. And I say, well, let me ask you a question. Did you understand you were lost? Yes. Did you understand Jesus was the only hope of your salvation? Yes. And then understanding and trusting only Christ, did you then trust him to be your personal Savior? Yes. And did you ask him? Yes. But I'm not sure what I said. Look in your Bible and find a prayer of salvation in your Bible. There's one in there, three words, Lord, save me. That's three words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there is no prayer of salvation in the Bible. That's why this stuff of telling people, you know, one, two, three, repeat after me. You just go through some stuff and you say a prayer and Jesus saves you. That's hogwash. Those poor people get really confused. Well, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me, but did you understand what you were doing? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You understand it. So it doesn't make a difference how old you were. Doesn't make the difference any difference what the circumstances of your life is. What matters is this. Did you realize you were lost, you trusted Jesus alone to save you, and you asked him to do so? Boom, you have salvation, because the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe, you receive, you trust Christ, you get saved. But you've doubt yourself. So listen to me now. Our heart may not be confident in something. Our heart may condemn us about things. Satan may come along and try to beat you over the head with the fact that you're not what you ought to be. And maybe you didn't really get it straightened out in your life. But listen now, all you have to do is clear the junk and get back to what was the simple testimony, and what is the simple testimony of your salvation. Did you realize that you were lost, you trust? See, Pastor, it just seemed like it making it that simple. Yes, it's that simple. But one more time, you cannot add to nor take away from what salvation is. Did you understand salvation is in Christ alone and trusting him alone for your salvation? You asked him to do so, then you're saved. Why do some people doubt their salvation? Verse 20 and 21 in our verse passage again says this. Now read it with me again as I read it to you, would you? If our heart condemn us, listen, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Some Christians doubt their salvation because they don't let God assure their salvation. Now look at me, people, look at me. We can sit there, and I've had folks come to my office and say, Pastor, just tell me that I'm saved. I said, I never do that. But I know I trusted Christ, and I know I asked him to save me, but I just keep having doubts in my mind. I always tell them, if you did what the Bible said, you have salvation. Now then, what you need to do is let God assure you of that salvation. Let him settle that in your mind. For God is greater than our hearts. One page over from where you are in 1 John chapter 3 to 1 John 5, please. Look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. By the way, no back and forth. You have him, then you don't. You have him, then you don't. You have him, and you have eternal life, or you don't, and you don't have eternal life. But once you have him, you got eternal life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here's what God said. I wrote this to tell you how you can know. If you will trust this in me, you'll know that you have salvation. God will assure your heart. That's what happened to me way back in 1975 when I got right with the Lord. I kept struggling about it and going over in my mind. Even a few times I thought, well, maybe I should just go ahead and make sure I got this thing right and pray and ask the Lord to save me. But see, wise people had told me, you do that once, you'll do it again. And again, and every time you have doubts, you'll keep doing that. What I did was I realized he had written his word to tell me, these things have I written unto you. Notice what it says in verse 13, that already believe in the name of the Son of God. That ye, those who already believe, may know that you have eternal life. And believe on the name of the Son of God. He's simply saying this, let the word of God and God himself give you that assurance of your salvation. So then you see, Satan can't mess with that. Your own mind can't mess with that. Your heart can't bother that. God will settle it in your mind. And after that time in 1975, when I had my doubts, from that day to this, I have not doubted my salvation since. It's settled. You know why? Finally, ultimately, completely, and fully, God gave me the assurance of my salvation. Because I trusted this book, and I trusted Him. And if this Bible says you trust Christ, you get saved, and it does, then I'm saved. Because the Bible says so. Now then, has that assurance given me a completely perfect Christian life? No. Are there times where my living might make some people think I'm not saved? Probably. Get in front of me and drive too slow and you'll get trouble. Amen, Brother Miss James. They're my neighbors. They live down the end of the street. They literally don't go to church till I pass their house. Yeah. Well, see, look at me. I'm not looking to you to assure me of my salvation. And I'm not looking to someone else's testimony to help me with that. And I'm not going to ask Jesus to keep saving me because He already did that. And when you trust the Word of God and the Son of God and God Himself, my friend, you get it settled. God nails that thing down and you are certain you have eternal life. You say, well, I've tried stuff like that. No, you didn't try it. You didn't trust Him. Assurance comes from God. He is greater than our heart. And there's, be honest with you, it was the day I got it settled in my mind, and more importantly than that, God settled it in my mind. From that day to this, I've not doubted my salvation. I've doubted me. I've doubted the way I live, but I've not doubted my salvation. No, that's a done deal. It's over and said and done. I've told you before, I've been in situations before and some trips I've made in different places I've been in my life where I thought I was going to die. And there was a settled peace that everything was good. You call it dying peace, Pastor Johnson. Well, it must have been dying grace, but I didn't die, so I don't know where that kind of grace came from. But it was settled. Can I ask you a question this morning? Hey, friend, look at me. Do you know that you have eternal life? Is that settled in your mind? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.